So, Lord, we give you praise and glory. And I say, open our ears, Father. Let us hear you for one another. And as we do training, Lord, we will be able to deliver it. That will be God-honoring and people-honoring. Amen. Amen. The word of God to Jonah. If you want to put up on the screen my scripture, Mal. Last week, you know, over the last couple of weeks, we've been concentrating that we're in a season of increase. You remember? So that's not a word that was a nice sermon or a couple of sermons a couple of weeks ago. I told us that we're in the season of increase, increase individually. And we can't go over all that ground again, but look on the podcast, it's there. But also it's a season corporately and a season where God is bringing increase into his body and bringing increase through his body, not only here, but also around the city and also around the nation and even the nations. And But there's also principles of increase. And we've been talking about principles because principles is very, very important. For instance, a principle is if you sow, that's a principle. Anne Toynan, where is she? You're going to be a preacher in this house, missus. You're going to be a preacher in this house. And Anne was saying, irregardless of what the season looked like, she was sowing her seed. And that's where you're reaping. You sow a seed, you reap. What type of seed you sow will determine what fruit you will enjoy. So if you want to grow bananas, as we say in the flats, or if you want to grow bidets to throw at the windits, I know I'll interpret it. If you want to sow reap potatoes, you need to sow some seed that will produce that. If you want to reap corn, you have to sow corn. So whatever you want to reap, you have to sow after it's corn. And last week, two major, major principles. One is the word of God came to Jonah. Everything begins with the word. Everything. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. And everything that was made through the word, who was Jesus. In Genesis, it says God spoke words and everything came into, all of creation came into being. And we looked at that word, at the word of God. It's creative, it's powerful, and it's sustaining. It's great to get nice words from people, and it's great to have confirmational words from people. But like, no matter who they are, what their credibility is, don't hang your life just on a word from a man or a woman or a book or a conversation. It has to start with the word of God. And the word, because the word of God, he will look after his word. Jeremiah 1 verse 11, that God watches over his word to perform it. He's no obligation to my words. He's no obligation to nice piecing together, crafted together prayers. He has no obligation what originates with us, but he has an obligation to what originated in heaven to us. So last week was like, here's a growth principle. Here's a principle of increase. It has to start with the word of God. So for Jonah, it doesn't matter where you think you have to go in the world. If you want increase, make sure it's all right with the CEO of the universe. That right? Secondly, was that Jonah ran away from God's presence. And we've seen from, which was ridiculous, because where can you go from God's presence? David says, if I go to the depths, you're there. If I go to the heights, you're there. If I go to the ends of the earth, you're there. He's the everywhere God. So you can't get away from him. And all of us, probably in our initial engagement with God or with another Christian who told us about God, I guarantee you we tried to get away from them at some stage, didn't we? Put up your hand if that's true. You're like, they're mad, I'm out here. There you go. And here you are here. Here we are here. So Moses didn't run away from God's presence because it says that Jonah, the word of God came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go and tell the Ninevites, change the way or die. And Jonah got up and went down to Joppa to get on a boat to Tarshish, which was, if Jonah was told to go to Nineveh, it was like New York. And Jonah headed to Iraq. He went in the total opposite, 1,800 miles. He was going in the other direction. And it says, and he ran away from God's presence. He thought when he got in the boat, that was it. God is not in the boat. You can't run away in God's presence. And a season of increase will only be upon us if we seek his presence. Moses says, he goes into God's presence. He says, I don't want to go any further from this place where I'm at now into my promised land, because there's battles, there's giants, there's cities, there's fortification. He says, I'm not going in there unless your presence is with me. And the Lord says, I will be with you. And then he says to God, okay, Lord, your presence is with me. Now can I see your glory? Will you show me your glory? And see, when you seek his presence, the increase is his glory. His presence is intimate. His presence is absolutely incredibly intimate between us. But his glory is the manifestation of his grace, of his mercy, of his miracles, of his signs and wonders. See what Moses got when he went into that promised land. See the miracles and signs and wonders. So his principle of increase, go after Jesus. Jesus said, seek me first and you get everything else. Isn't that right? If you seek the king, you get the thing. If you seek the thing, you miss the king. Do you get me? So he says, like, seek first the king and the kingdom, because you don't get the king without the kingdom, and you don't get the kingdom without the king. So Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added on. We are told over and over again in Christianity, in, like, publications, we're told to go after the thing. This will show us how, will show other people how blessed we are. I'm a man of faith. I'm a woman of faith. I have A, B, C, D. I have all these material things behind me, and people are supposed to say, that's a man of God. How will you determine a man and woman of God if the presence of God is on them, if the anointing of God is on them, and if the fruit of that is, if there's no fruit to that, well, then they're a sham. And heaven will catch them out. But Jesus says, if you seek first the kingdom, seek Jesus. If you have nothing else in this world, seek Jesus. I met a homeless man, Reggie, do you remember, Phil? Down at Dáil Éireann, sleeping on the Dáil, getting a cup of tea off the stew crew. They introduced me. Reggie, this is the pastor we were telling you about. He looks up and he says, Pastor? Says, yes, sir. He says, take the whole world, but give me Jesus. He knew what riches really was in this world. And I tell you, you can go after the thing and miss the king. And that is a whole load of baloney. Because you have to live to play the game to keep that thing going. And when you have the king, you have everything. Amen? So increase, seek the presence. The increase is the glory. Increase starts with the word of God. And today we're going to concentrate on Jonah the runaway, Jonah the fugitive, Jonah the one that got up and ran away. And we're just going to look at some things around increase and some things about where we can hang our life on as we move on. There he is. I've done that to Rod and myself. That was a lie. Forgive me. So the word of God to Jonah, chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to that great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went on board and sailed to Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo in the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up, rise up, and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish. Then the sailor says to each other, come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity. They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, tell us, who was responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country from? What people are you from? He answered, I'm a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. This terrified them, and they asked, what have you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. Jonah was a fugitive. He was on the run from his mandate, his mission, from the presence of Almighty God. And one preacher says this, that if you're looking to run away from God, the devil will always make sure there's a ship to take you far, as far away from him as possible. If you're looking to get away from him, he'll pay the fare. He'll get you there as long as it's away from God. But when you run away from God, it's all downhill. I remember Rob telling me before that in his reading that Jonah lived up in the mountains. And when he heard a word from the Lord, the Bible says he went down to Joppa to go down to Tarshish. And he ends up down at the bottom of the sea. That it's all downhill when you're running away from the mission of God in your life. From there on in, you can hide away, you can go wherever you want, but you're not up on the place or in the place where God tells you to be. For Jonah, it went downhill. 3 steps from the mountain to the sea, to the port, and from the port down to the bottom of the sea. Others suffered as a result of Jonah's disobedience. These men were seasoned fishermen, seasoned men on the boats, and the ship was under such threat that the boat was going to break up. Men were going to be possibly, potentially drowned. They were going to suffer at the expense of Jonah's disobedience. Jonah, God brought the storm, but it was Jonah who initiated what had to be done by being disobedient to God. And can I say to you again this morning, if you're running away from God, will you stop? Will you just stand still and allow him to speak to you and show you his heart again for you? Would you let him call you back into the place of putting a cloak around you and the ring on your finger and the sandals on your feet? Would you allow him to say again, my son, my daughter has come home. They've stopped running. Because I want to tell you, storms come in all shapes and sizes. And I don't want you or your family or this church or anyone that you're supposed to reach suffer because you're running from God. If you're being disobedient, get your act together with God. Ask him, God, forgive me. I'm sorry for running away, Lord. I'm sorry for being afraid of man. I'm sorry for wanting my own way. And yet I look around and what's happening is I'm going downhill. My wife is suffering. My home is suffering. My family is suffering because I'm being disobedient. I'm encouraging you. I'm pleading with you to stop. Because on the other side of Jonah's obedience was a city that needed to be reached. And you just don't know the plans of God for your life. You could be the one that reaches Dublin. You could be the one that preaches to the multitude. You could be the one that changes the loaves into fishes and raises the dead. It could be you. It could be you. No, it's not me. It could be you. So stop being a fugitive. Get caught. Give yourself up. Say, God, here I am. This is who I am. And I loved what happened here. And I've asked you for the next couple of weeks to just read Jonah and see what God says to you personally. And but this is the bit that I landed on. Jonah goes down to have a sleep while the storm breaks out. A deep sleep. It's funny what you read, you know, and when you read something, I'm like, how in the world could he have slept when the ship was ready to break up? But he did. But they went down to him and says, they woken him up, and he says, who are you? What is your mission? What are you supposed to be doing for God? Look at it. They demanded to know, who are you? What's your line of work? What country are you from? What is your nationality? Who's your people? Who's your mission? Because they knew that it was all about this guy, but Jonah's situation caused them to forget who he really was. And whatever you agree with that you are, that's what you will become. I'll say that again. If you agree with something that you're not, instead of agreeing with something that you really are, you'll become what you really are not. And that makes it more confusing. I'll say it a different way. So I'm like, who am I? Who am I? Jonah allowed circumstances to define who he was at that moment. He wasn't a fugitive. He was a prophet. But he forgot because circumstances caused him to forget his true identity. And they says, who are you? Who are you? Tell me who you are. What's your credentials? What's your nationality? What's your pedigree? What's your mission? Because we know you're on the run. Who are you? Who are you? I want to ask us, who are you? Who am I? Who am I supposed to be? What am I living out of? Am I living out of my background? Am I living out of my chaos? Am I living out of my failures? Am I living out of my successes? That all the while confirm who I really am not. Am I living out of my circumstances? Do you ever wonder why God never allowed Mary to name Jesus? Do you ever wonder why God never allowed John the Baptist's dad, a man, to name John? He says, this is what you're going to call him. Because God refused to allow any circumstance, any situation to name his son. He refused to let someone's background to determine what his future was going to be. Because Nazareth was nothing in the nowhere place. Can anything good come out of that place? Can you imagine what they could have named Jesus? And you could say, oh, that's that fella from that place that knows nothing, has nothing going for him, has no background, has no pedigree. God says, I'm naming my son Mary. This is what you call him. Whatever we agree with, that will determine what we will become. What are you agreeing with? And what do you need to agree with? God says, you know what? You're wonderful. God says he has a plan. He says he has a purpose. He says he has a destiny wrapped up for you and wrapped up for me. He says you're a royal priest. You belong to a holy nation. You are, what's the other one? You belong to the band of conquerors. You belong to the tribe of overcomers. Peter, John says that he overcame the world, therefore we will overcome the world. He says in Romans, we're more than conquerors. What are we agreeing with? I'm weak, I'm no good. Even if our circumstances, even if our failures compound over and over and over again, we have to break out of it and say, no, I don't care what my circumstances says. That's not what's going to be the name that's on me and on my headstone when I leave this earth. That my God has called me. You are somebody who has a destiny. And I love this. I can imagine us in the city, in workplaces, in college, wherever, and people come and go, who are you? There's something about you. Who are you? Will you please tell me? The world, it says in the Bible in Romans that the whole earth is mourning and groaning and waiting for the sons and daughters of the king to be revealed. That the whole earth is waiting for us to stand up and say, it's me! I'm here! I'm from God! He sent me with something to contribute to this world so that this world will look like his world and this place will look like his place. They're waiting on us. We think they're afraid of us. They might think they're afraid of us. But they're really waiting on the heroes of God to show up and say, I've an answer. I know who the answer is. Amen. They said, what's your job? What's your mission? What's your line of work? They were trying to get Jonah without even knowing back into the place where he would believe who he really was. What were you sent to do, Jonah? You weren't sent to sleep in the bottom of a boat while everyone was crying out to be saved, while everyone was waiting for this thing that was breaking up for someone to stand up and say, it's me. I know the answer. It's all about me. And if I give you the answer, the whole thing stops. What is your mission? How do you know your mission? What has God put in your heart as your mission to contribute to the mission of God in this city and in this world? How do I find my mission? You say, no, I don't know where to say. What lights your fire? What floats your boat? For some people, it's telling everybody about Jesus. For some, it's serving in stew crew. For some, it's serving, working with kids. For some, it's going to dark places and bringing light. What is it? What is that just causes you to be alive? Causes you to go, this is what I was made to do. And we get, and that's what we attach ourselves to. If it's in small ways, we do it in small ways because promotion comes with faithfulness into bigger things. What some things get us angry. What gets us angry? And maybe your mission is in like the injustice stuff. Maybe our mission is wrapped up in like this thing that really, no, that's not right that young people are treated like that. That's not right that single mothers are treated like that. That's not like that the way the courts do this on people. That there's something inside of you and your mission may be attached to that and you can find that out. He said, who are your people? Who's your tribe? What stock are you? Who was your father? What are you made of? That's what he was asking. That's what the Bible always says, David, the son of Jesse, or they always go down, Isaac, the son of J- Jacob, the son of Isaac, and Isaac, the son of Abraham. He always goes down because like, what stock are you? So if Isaac was sleeping in a boat and someone says, what stock are you? And he says, oh, I'm just running away from God, I'm in the boat. You would have shaken him going, no, you're the one with a promise that's inside of you that God is going to give you a nation and give you a land. So whatever stock you are of, they would have said to Jonah, who are you? Where are you from? What's your name? What's your line of work? What stock are you from? And he would have said, I'm from whoever his father was. And inside of Jonah would have been rising up, well, I need to act like him. Can I tell you guys, yous are from a tribe of liberty. Yous are from a tribe that has been called to reach this city and reach this nation. You are called from the tribe of liberty, that people that walk with God, love God, people that want to do something for God, people that are laying down their lives for God, some of the people that are faithful to God, not people that get it all right. God forbid that we'd ever get into that tribe, but people that want to do what's right all the time, people that want to do what's right by God. Your stock is good, let me tell you. Because I tell you why, my stock is good, and those who's my father's, their stock is good, and therefore there's a lineage to come down and an inheritance to come down from to us. Your stock is good. Amen. Let's finish with this, because it's 12:30. If anyone tells you any different, tell them you're a radical, shocking, holy saint. That's where you are. What stock are you from? The radical, shocking, holy saints. Is that right? That's who you're from. People that are believing God for a manifestation of God in a city and in a nation. People that are come out of all types of situations in life that Jesus has reached in and took a hold of us. There was a man sent from God to Nineveh and he ran away. 1 John, the Gospel of John 1, verse 6. My favorite scripture of last week. There was a man sent from God. His name was John. Isn't that a powerful scripture? There was a man sent from God. His name was John. And John the Baptist came. And he pointed the city and the nation of Israel, the cities and the nation of Israel. And he says, look, behold, the Lamb of God. He didn't run away. He ran to the cities, saying, behold the Lamb of God. He takes away the sins of the world. Jonah ran away because he didn't want those people's sins forgiven. Listen to last week's podcast. He didn't like those people. He was a racist. He was a nationalist. They were Israel's enemies. And he says, let them go to hell. Let them burn them up, Lord. He would have been at the city gate saying, he would have been, you know, like when they're doing bombs and they send the people in to put the mark so that the bombers can come and they let off the bombs and they're like the marker. Do you know what I'm talking about? All that modern warfare stuff. They put in a red dot and laser beam dot and the planes are out to come and send our bombs and they hit pinpoint position. Jonah would have been there. Here, Lord, take them over. No good, dirty, low-down Ninevites. Violent people. They skin people alive. They worship other gods. They sacrifice babies. He was saying here, when he eventually went, that's where he wanted to see. John the Baptist, a man sent from God. He came and he says, look. Look. Behold the Lamb of God. He sorts it all out. He takes away the sins of the world. And we have a choice, Liberty, to be people that run away. Or were people that'll say, there was a woman called Paula Valentine, sent from God. There's teachers in this place and people that work in all types of situations with people saying, there's Linda, a woman sent from God. There's Wayne, a man sent from God. There's Trevor. There's Dennis. And you know what? It just takes something to rise up in us to say, yeah, I am a person sent from God. Because if not, we're going to agree with some other stuff that tells us different. And we have an opportunity this morning to say, I'm agreeing with what God says about me. That's all I'm doing. I'm not agreeing with what my ma said about me, or my dad, or my school teachers, or my friend, or my ex-boyfriend, or my ex-girlfriend, or wherever. I'm agreeing with what God says. I'm a person sent from God. To say to our world, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Amen. And you know what? See shame. See shame is the only thing that will keep us back today. That's the only thing. And I'm asking us not to agree with shame right now. Not to agree with it. Because that shame is designed to rob you and me of our identity. I want to go to my city this week. In fact, I will. And I have already, but I've not said it in this language. There was a man sent to Dublin from God. His name is Noah. I didn't say that language the last time, but I'm going to go this week to the city gates in Thomas Street and look over our city, and I'm going to tell the city there's a man sent from God. And I would say to you this week, wherever you are, if it's not the city, it's your workplace. If it's not the workplace, it's your home. If it's not, you know, it is your home and all the others. If you can't go to the city, go, well, man, I'm not up to that place yet. I'm not up to the community yet, but I'm up to me home. Imagine saying to our kids, there's a man sent to this house, or a woman. Kids, and he's from God. I'm here to be a blessing and to point you to Jesus. So wherever that we take the opportunity, the only thing that will keep you back now is shame. And I'm telling you not to agree with that dirty thing from hell. I want to say hello to Stephen and his new wife, Stephen Nolan. Just married last week. Congratulations. That's Deborah's big brother, Deborah Nolan, who was up singing. So we're going to have a bit of time. We have time. It's 12:30 only. And we're going to have a bit of time in ministry. So let's stand. Principles of increase. Don't run. Stop running, because the increase of the storm will affect other people. So you don't want the negative. The positive is you stop running. You say, God, here I am. And maybe you've been running from God for years. I don't mean you haven't been in church in years. You can be in church and still run away from God. Sometimes the greatest place to hide for people is in amongst people. You look as if you're doing all the right things, but our hearts are far away. So I'm not saying that one, but I'm just saying if you know in your heart that you've been running from who you are, what your mission is, you've been running from your stock, from your family, from your tribe, from your line, it's just time to come home today. And the same way Jonah stepped out to go the opposite direction, you have to reverse that and step back in. And some people say, no, why step to the front? Why step out? Believe me, these natural things have supernatural effects, just like walking away from God has a supernatural effect. So I want to give us an opportunity to reverse that. I walked down to Joppa and I was getting on a boat. Today, I'm going to step out of line and walk to an altar and say, God, here I am. I'm home. I know your presence. I know you're merciful. I know you're graceful. And if that's you this morning, like without any fanfare, just cold light of day, I'm not running. I'm running to God. Just step out and come to the front. I'm not running anymore. Lord, here I am. You're not coming to me. You're just coming to God. It's just a way of reversing the effect. What we're sowing, we're going to pull her up and sow something new. Here I am, God. It's me. I love you. I'm home. I'm back. God wants to give us something. He wants us to know that he's with us. That Jonah, his presence never left you. And you know what? If there's some people here, you can come right across the front. If there's some people here and you go, you know what? I want to make a stand. I'm a person sent from God. And I'm standing. My name is John. A man sent from God, or a woman sent from God. If you have never said that, or if you just go, yeah, you know what? I need to agree with that this morning. Why don't you come up the front and just make that a statement? And those who have already said something like that, stay where you are. But those who've like, this is my declaration morning. This is my declaration morning. Come on, don't be afraid. You're going to be sent out with power. That's my morning to say, I'm a man sent from God. I'm going to declare it this morning. I'm going to stand in it this morning. I'm going to go to my family. I'm going to go to wherever God has placed me. I'm just going to declare, I'm sent from God to this place. I know God got me that job. I know God got me that part in the course. I'm sent from God. I know God has caused me to be married to this woman, not caused me. God has got this woman in my life. I am this family in my life, and I'm going to declare in my home, I'm sent from God, therefore I bring heaven with me. And those who already have said something like that, will you just put up your hand to me? Just put up your hand. You've already declared that. Amen. Look at this.